Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Our text for this morning comes directly after Jesus was baptized. Right? He meets John the Baptizer on the edge of the Jordan River, and immediately when he comes up, something miraculous happens. The heavens are open to him, and we see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and God speaks from the clouds and declares that, yes, Jesus is God's own Son. In that moment of Jesus' baptism, he was ordained. In that moment, his ministry had begun. He had this public induction into the office of the Christ. And what is the very first thing that that Holy Spirit, whom Jesus receives, what is the very first thing that Spirit does? Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and he wanders around this wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And of course, when he is at his most vulnerable, when he is at his most weakest point, Satan decides to strike. Satan comes and tries to bring him down, tempts him to sin, because if he can get Jesus to sin just one time, the whole world is lost. If he could get Jesus to sin just one time, then everybody in the entirety of existence would be doomed to hell with Satan for all time. But yet we know how this works. Through it all, Jesus remains faithful. He overcomes Satan's temptations by his unwavering confidence in God's word. Because remember, what did God just say at Jesus' baptism? "You are my son." And what is Satan's first temptation? "If you are God's son." It's the same thing that Satan had done with Adam and Eve, only where Adam fails, Jesus does not. But this isn't the first time we see a struggle of 40 in the scriptures. It's not the first time that faithfulness has been tested in the wilderness. Back in the Old Testament, we might know this story well, right? The nation of Israel is enslaved under Pharaoh, and God sends his chosen one in the person of Moses and executes these 10 plagues. And what happens? But the people of Israel get to be let go. And just like Jesus, they get baptized. The people of Israel get baptized in the Red Sea. They cross from death to life, from enslavement into freedom. And God marches them straight into the Promised Land. And what does he tell them? "Go into this land that I am going to give to you." But the Israelites doubt God's word. They doubt that God is actually going to give them the land. Well, these people here, they're gigantic. They're so numerous. They're way more powerful than we are as a nation. There's no way we can occupy this land. And because they did not have unwavering confidence in God's word, God forced them to wander around the desert for 40 years. 40 years of wandering, 40 years of constant grumbling against God and his servant Moses and Aaron. Only unlike Jesus, right? Jesus, for his 40 days, he's fasting. He's not eating anything. But what do the people of Israel have? Manna. Every morning they wake up and there's this dew-like bread that looked like coriander on the ground for them to collect and for them to eat. The only problem is that they're not content with God's providence of manna. Instead, they put the Lord their God to the test. The very thing Jesus would not do is what Israel tries to do. They grumble against God and they go, "God, we would have been better off back in Egypt. At least there we had meat. If you really care about us, Lord, send us some meat." And of course, the Lord does. but they put the Lord to the test. Now, all of this leads us into today, the first Sunday in Lent of the year 2020. And you two have been chosen by God in baptism. In your baptism, the same thing happened that happened in Jesus' baptism. The heavens were open, you received the Holy Spirit, and God calls you his child. You are sons and daughters of God by faith, adopted into his family. But if there's something obvious we can learn from the account of Jesus' temptation, it's that those who have been chosen by God need to watch out. Those who have been chosen by God, that means you, have a target on your back. Satan will attack you. Satan will tempt you. He will try to bring you down and cause you to sin. And it won't just be for 40 days, like Jesus. It won't be just for 40 years, like the people of Israel. It will be for your entire Christian life. So be prepared. Be prepared for Satan to come after you. And this number 40, right, it's not incidental. Right? The number 40 isn't there by an accident. We see this number pop up all throughout the scriptures. Right? It's kind of this, it's this number of tempting, it's a number of testing, it's a number of trial, it's a number that represents fasting. And so guess how many days it rained during Noah and the flood? 40. Guess how many days Moses remained prostrate in front of the Lord without food or drink on Mount Sinai? 40. When the people of Israel committed evil in the eyes of God, and back in the days of Samson, the judge, guess how many years he allowed the Philistines to afflict them? 40. And finally, how about this one? When Goliath would come out before the armies of Israel, and he would taunt them and taunt God himself, how many days did he come out and taunt the Israelites before David killed him? 40. Isn't that wonderful? But it means that as long as we are Christians, we're going to be tempted by Satan. We have our own version of this number 40 that we're going to have to endure. The sad part is that unfortunately, when we're tempted, we really don't often behave like Jesus in the wilderness. So much more, we behave like those people of Israel who grumbled against God. I mean, we've all had a period of doubt where we start to doubt what God's word actually says. Especially in times of struggle, we wonder if he really meant his promises. There are times when we neglect to use God's word on a daily basis as we should. There are times when we worship the desires of our body, right? When that sinful flesh tells us that we should do one thing or another, we're all too quick to jump into the sin. We put God to the test. Right? Maybe in a time of your own struggle in your own life, right? And you sit there and you go, well, God, if you really care about me, then you're supposed to take this struggle out of my life. As if somehow we can manipulate God in the midst of our hardship, as if he has to prove it to us on our own terms that he cares. And so often we seek our own glory. We seek our own power. We seek our own honor rather than seeking to humble ourselves and to serve God and to serve one another. My friends, we go through temptations. Satan afflicts us with trials and tribulations, and there's this testing. And when we come out of the other side of all of these things that we're afflicted with, how do we feel? Ashamed. Ashamed for having failed yet again. But my friends, fear not. This is exactly why Jesus came and why he endured the temptation of Satan, is because he knew that someone had to defeat the evil one. He knew that in the midst of our own lives, in the midst of our own temptations, he knew how often we would fail. And so he has to be victorious in our place. He's victorious that we can find relief in at least one place of certainty, and that's in him. And how he resists temptation and what he does for us, because he is faithful through the number 40. He is faithful through suffering. He is faithful through trial, even when we can't be. In his unwavering confidence and perfect obedience to God's word, and his selfless service towards you, this is who Jesus has to be. He has to be a place of rest for all of God's people. And so he is. And we see it most importantly on the cross. Because Jesus there dies the death that we deserve. He is condemned with a condemnation that should be ours. His blood is shed, his body is crucified, and he enters into death. But remember that promise that we heard in our Old Testament reading, that Jesus was going to come and crush Satan's head. And it doesn't say that Jesus himself will die. It says, yes, Jesus will be bruised. He will be broken. He will be hurt. But ultimately, he will be victorious. And so while he crushes Satan and while he defeats him once and for all, we only know that's true because Jesus comes back to life. After 3 days in the tomb, he rises victorious to proclaim to you that he has conquered Satan, that he has conquered death, that he has conquered all of your sin. You are forgiven for all the times you were tempted and yet failed, for all the times you obeyed your sinful flesh rather than listening to the word of God, for all the times you sought your own gain rather than the benefit of your neighbor or serving God. You are forgiven for all of it. And yes, it's true that as long as we're Christians, we'll be tempted. And yes, it's true that you will again fail. But remember, in those times when you feel so ashamed and so defeated because of your sin, remember that Jesus will never fail. He will always be there to speak a word of forgiveness into your ears. He will always be there to remind you of who you are through the waters of baptism, because you are God's child and nothing can change that. The heavens are open to you, and no one can shut them. The Holy Spirit is a gift that leads you through this life, and nothing can take it away. God promises. This is the first Sunday in Lent, and Lent actually started on Ash Wednesday, so this past Wednesday. And do you know how many days there are between Ash Wednesday and Easter Sunday? 46. Oh, so close, right? But it's so good. Because do you know how many Sundays there are in that time? 6. And so for 40 days throughout the season of Lent, we're out in this world. We're out being tempted. We're out through various trials that we have to endure. And there's all sorts of suffering and sadness that we have to endure. And sure, Satan is going to come and he's going to tempt us and he's going to try to do the evil thing. But while we have to endure all of that for 40 days, there are 6 Sundays in which we come back here, in which we come into God's house and we find rest, and we find relief, and we find forgiveness in our Savior. For 6 Sundays, we receive his love and his strength and his victory. Because as we sang in A Mighty Fortress, one little word can conquer Satan. Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.